Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Hello and welcome to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and we are here today on this fine Thursday in the Easter season with Christine Franklin. Hello, Christine.
Hey, Mark. Oh, I have such good news. Can I say it yet?
Tell me. Hit me. I'm ready.
Today is the first day our backyard has been snowed.
Really?
Since, I don't know when. I can't even remember. I'm so happy and thankful.
That's great. You know, and I'm happy and thankful because all the flowers are out and everything
smells good. Shut up.
The lilacs are you know. And it's a beautiful sunny day.
In a month or so, we'll have flowers. But I have flowers in my house. I have hydroponics. I'm into hydroponics for all the right reasons. And I have flowers in my dining room right now. So
you're out there in farm country, and you know, sooner or later,
we're in iron mining country. There's no farms here. The soil is too crummy from the glaciers.
We're talking about Minnesota.
Northern Minnesota.
Oh, really? Okay.
There's no productive farmland up here except right at the border between Minnesota and Ontario. Or is it Ontario, Manitoba? I don't know what province is up there. But anyway, there's a river up there that has flooded enough times in history to lay down some really fertile earth. So you have to go way up to the border. But where we are, the topsoil is about 6 inches deep. And then it's.
Really?
Yeah, the glaciers.
I just sort of imagined all of Minnesota was just farmland.
No, glaciers. We're still recovering.
Oh, well, I shut my mouth.
And so, what happened was the glaciers pushed all the good dirt down to southern Minnesota and Iowa and southern Wisconsin and stuff.
Okay.
That's our dirt. Okay? That's our dirt. Okay. And
we want reparation. I can see that you're bitter about this, but, you know, we soldier on. We do our best.
Yes.
And, okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that you don't live in farmland, but, you know, you can be an iron farmer. And
because actually nobody owns the mineral rights to the land they live on.
Really?
No.
Oh. What?
Yeah, that's kind of like Colorado. You don't own the water rights to the land you live on. I know, it's just greed, corruption, you know. But that's okay. You learn to live with it. You learn to know that if there's gold under there, it's not mine. So why dig?
Yes, emphatically.
Yeah.
Since you can't actually profit off of it. But
you can't dig in the winter anyway because the ground's frozen 3 feet deep.
Well, see, except... That's not a problem here, of course. That's your problem, not my problem, because it's spring here. We're well into spring. The sun is out. The sun is shining.
Daffodils.
The daffodils have come and gone, actually, and so do the crocuses. The tulips are they're heading into late middle age.
Lilacs yet?
Lilacs are out right now.
Oh, you're so thankful. I can just hear it in your voice.
I am thankful.
Early June. Yeah.
Yes, I was out there. Actually, I took a lovely whiff of the lilacs today, and they smelled heavenly, and everything is great.
Every once in a while, you just need a thankful Thursday.
We'll make this a thankful Thursday.
Yeah, this is thankful Thursday.
This is thankful. We're gonna have a thankful Thursday. By the way, if you're out there listening right now to Connecting the Dots, by all means, give us a call at 1-573-4-BREAD-4 and talk about what you're thankful for.
Yes.
There is no gratitude Thursday. That would be weird. So we'll make it thankful Thursday
thankful
instead.
Thankful Thursday.
Just
deer with turkey. Yeah, I had this thought today that, you know, you'd get too much internet saturation. It feels like life just sucks. I mean, there is nothing good in the world at all. And then the robins sing outside. And then the other day I saw a flock of bald eagles. You know, that stuff like
really?
That. You just stop and think about it for a minute. A flock of bald eagles.
I don't see flocks of bald eagles. I see bald eagles. We live...
onesie, twosie, right? I saw.
Yeah, yeah. There's like a couple of bald eagles. I don't know if they're a mating pair or what. There's just like two that we see over there. There's a lake near about a mile from our house called Lake Ballinger. Yeah. And the lake has a big island in the middle of it that's made out of peat. And so it's just covered over with a bunch of trees and stuff. And
our lakes are still frozen.
Oh, yeah. Our lakes seldom freeze here because this is Western Washington.
Because that's where I grew up. I know.
But we'll go swimming out there in the winter. And
what? You go swimming in the winter?
I'm sorry. What am I saying? We'll go swimming out there in the summer.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
Senior moment. And we'll go out there and we will we'll watch the birds. There's ospreys and millions of starlings that are out there, and a lot of crows, and these eagles. I was out swimming in the lake one time, and I watched this eagle fly out over the lake, and it kind of circled around and wheeled, and then it suddenly just dove toward the surface of the lake and came out of the water with a fish.
Yeah,
it was a magnificent moment. You know,
it is.
I got to see that. You know,
yeah.
So
we got to hang on to those magnificent moments, and I think as Christians we need to be looking for them.
Yeah,
because they are there, especially on days when we feel depressed or down or whatever. It's like I think I'm probably missing some magnificent moment here. You know, something I haven't paid attention to. You know, it really is beautiful here in the winter, and well, I got to say that 6 months of winter cuts down on the homeless population. There aren't any, so they go to Seattle and Portland.
They come to Seattle and Portland, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to say I just heard on the news yesterday, Amazon, which is based here in Seattle.
Yes, I read that. Say.
They're basically setting up homeless shelters for people.
That's cool.
And I gotta say, I mean, that makes me proud to be a Seattleite. That Amazon's doing that. So I think that's just classy.
It is.
That's one of the corporal works of mercy, is harboring the harborless. And so, bravo, Amazon.
Yes, yay, Amazon. My nephew works for them, so yes, I support
oh, yeah?
him. I support him heavily.
But it's good to have, I think, a thankful Thursday, because Thursday is actually the day of thankfulness, because Thursday is when the Eucharist was instituted.
That's right. It's the mysteries of light, which I just prayed before the show. It's such a thankful bunch of rosary prayers.
Right. Yeah.
It is.
And so when we are thankful, you know, in the Mass it says we do well always and everywhere to give God thanks and praise.
Yeah.
And what the Catholic tradition, beginning with the lips of Jesus himself, puts right at the center of the whole universe, all of human experience, everything in the whole wide world is all about thankfulness. The Eucharist, which means Thanksgiving, is the source and summit of our life as Catholics, because the Eucharist is Jesus. And Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, gave thanks, which is a staggering thing. Because Jesus knows what's about to happen. Yeah.
And it's, he knows what's up.
He knows what's about to happen.
Yeah.
And yet his final act is to give thanks.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're called to do. And so, yes, bad things, you know, you don't need to worry if bad things are going to happen, because I can tell you, yes, they are. Nothing to worry about. I know for sure that those things are going to happen, but nonetheless, it's not the end, and that's the whole point of the Eucharist.
I think that's definitely one of the things that I have learned from my 50-plus interviews for Mercy Unwrapped, for my podcast,
yeah,
is that people who, you know, I've I've been interviewing faithful Catholics from every kind of background, and some of them have been through tremendous suffering, unthinkable suffering, unthinkable lives of sin, you know, and yet they know their Redeemer, and they know, what this life is. It's a breath. It's a watch in the night. It's the grass that dries up, and, you know, it's, they get like the big picture, and regardless of whatever has happened in their life, no matter what horrific thing or disease or whatever, they're happy people, you know? And I learned so much from that, because I'm not always as thankful or grateful or full of wonder as I should be to be a happy person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we can be. And that's, you know, that's the great struggle, you know. And it's good. I discovered this actually last summer. I went to see, have you seen, now I'm drawing a blank. It was a Pixar animated film. Oh, what am I thinking of? With the little girl, and we follow her five.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I forget the name. Inside Out.
Inside Out, yeah.
Yes, we did see that. I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I got to thinking about that movie after I left the theater. I decided to walk home from the theater. The theater's at Northgate, and I live 5 or 6 miles. Oh, well, we'll talk about that more when we come back. You're listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. And we're talking today with Christine Franklin, and we will be back right after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
And welcome back to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and we're here with Christine Franklin. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. I'm tickling my throat.
Man, cover it up.
Sorry, man. went to see Inside Out last summer, and I had a really important spiritual experience.
Oh, for cool.
Me. It was I started thinking about it, because part of the conceit of the movie is you're inside the mind of this girl who's just, she's just moved from her home in Minnesota
to San Francisco,
yeah. And she's just entering puberty, and it's just like tons of emotions all over the place.
Yeah.
And so you follow the inside of her mind, and there's, you see five of her emotions. So there's joy and sadness and anger and fear and disgust. And whenever something happens, she forms a memory, and these golden bowling balls basically are rolling down the chute, and then they get stored away. And so, you know, she's got thousands and thousands of memories, but some of those memories are core memories. And they're part of her identity and part of who she is and everything. It's a fun movie. Plus there's like just weird memories. So like there's a running joke in the movie that, you know, that the critters that work in memory storage, you know, one of the things that they love is they keep playing around with the triple dent gum jingle, right? That just keeps popping up, you know, and you start realizing, yeah, there is that, like that dumb song that I remember, you know. Uh-huh. They're like 1960s television ads. Uh-huh. That I still remember, you know. And anyway, but it got me thinking about memory. I started thinking about, so I decided to walk home that evening. It was a good long walk. It was a couple hours. And so I started thinking about how much of my life can I remember? And it's true that we've got core memories. You know, so when I think of my childhood, there are a couple of things that immediately spring to mind. So I can remember, I can instantly remember, you know, riding around in my little red fire truck thing that I had up and down the street on Painfield Air Force Base where I was born. And I remember, you remember certain Christmases, or you remember, it's
birthday
funny,
you know, gifts, yeah.
Yeah, and the way your brain files things away, I mean, I don't know why the red fire truck sticks in my mind, but it's just one of those things that instantly comes to mind. But then you start kind of drilling down, and you start, you try to go deeper and think about, you know, what else can I remember from that time and moving forward through your life. And it's amazing how much stuff is there stored away in your memory just waiting for you to kind of drill down and find it. And mm-hmm. things you haven't thought about, conversations you have not thought about in 50 years come up, you know?
Yep.
And so I started walking home, and I just decided, I thought, I think I'm going to try and think of everything that I can remember from my life. And then give thanks to God for it. Because it's all led me to where I am now, and hopefully, right. In the providence of God, it will be part of the unfolding story that will lead ultimately to my full redemption in heaven. And that's, I think, a very deeply biblical thing to do, because that's, the Bible is pretty much nothing else but Israel reflecting on its memories leading up to the advent of Christ. And then what are the Gospels? Well, there's no gospel according to Jesus. What you're getting in the Gospels is the story of other people's experiences of Jesus and what happened and the implications of that. So I just started trying to give thanks for everything that ever happened in my life. And, you know, and some of it was painful, but what I what was kind of remarkable was that even the painful stuff, I know that it all turned out well, you know.
You can look back on, you know, if you have the eyes of Christ, if we can look with the eternal vision, if we can look with eternal vision, then we can see how all that stuff made us who we are, which is shaped who we are, and that's part of God's plan,
right?
To make us who we are, you know.
Yeah.
So I can tell you a really important thing that I'm thankful for that as a child I was not thankful for is that my dad was deaf. My dad was profoundly deaf, and he didn't sign, and we had our own kind of family sign language. Dad read lips, or you had to write him a note if you really wanted to be clear.
Right.
But he was a very frustrated man, and I was a frustrated child because my dad was so hard. It was so hard to make myself understood to him. And sometimes when he was mad, all a deaf parent has to do when they don't want to listen is just turn away, you know? But
yeah.
My sister and I have talked many times about that. We are very clear communicators. And people have noted that even with our children talked really early. And I said, well, when you grow up with a deaf parent, you learn to get to the roots right away.
Right.
And you pronounce things clearly, and you don't tell long-winded, boring stories because you were raised that you have to get to the nugget of the story or the joke,
right,
or the whatever, or
right,
or you'll lose dad's attention, you know, or you won't communicate it and everybody will be frustrated.
Right.
And now I'm really thankful that I grew up with a deaf parent because it gave me skills I wouldn't otherwise have.
Yeah.
And that's a thing that, like, as a grown-up looking back, I can see. So now I can assume that the things that I'm going through at this point in my life, when I'm an old, old lady, or, you know, whatever, my dad lived 98, I hope that I can look back on them and go, oh, see how God used that in your life?
Yeah.
X, Y, and Z. It's, you know, it's just wonderful. I love being Catholic. It's just wonderful to see, you know, to see the world with Catholic eyes and to have that sense of thankfulness built in.
Yeah.
I mean, as a Protestant, we were taught, and it's straight out of the Bible, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, you know? And right. It's like, we were taught that, give thanks for this, give thanks for this. But as Catholics, we have the Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. And so the whole act, our act of worship is thanksgiving. And isn't that, I'm just, I have happy feet just thinking about it. I'm like tapping the floor of happy feet. It's a good thing I don't have hardwood in here because it's just so great. And it can give us perspective on the crappy days, you know, or even those periods in your teen, you know, when you were a teen and you were all angst and you were all, you know, like we can look back on it with, as Catholics, and say, see how God was leading me, or see how God allowed me to experience enough garbage to know I didn't want to live in the dump for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And so even our sin and our stupidity and dumb things we did when we were younger, or the dumb things we do now, God can redeem it all. That best news of all.
And, you know, and it's something that, of course, always applies. I mean, as we're sitting here, you know, we're looking at some financial struggles for the Shea family. Well, you know, it's just one of those things that happens. But, you know, the thing is last year, I had this kind of astonishing experience of God's providence. And I thought, I'm going to remember this. I want to squirrel this away because I was having a heart attack last year.
You were really having a heart attack?
No, just proverbial heart attack.
Okay.
I was just having a heart attack about the finances, and it worked out, you know, and in some fairly obviously providential ways, including ways that were very consoling to me because I lost my mom 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing my, you know, I'm struggling through my taxes, and like just the moment where I'm thinking it's curtains for us all, out of the blue, I get this letter from my brother saying, "Hey, here's some inheritance money from mom," and it was like,
what?
"Wow," you know, and so it's like, okay, I am not gonna freak out.
Yeah.
The next time I'm gonna remember this, and I'm gonna hold on to the fact that God has my good in mind, and so that's what I'm doing this time. I'm saying, okay, thank you, Lord. Whatever, you know, we'll get through this. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And you know what I found on the walk was that as I started to drill down into memory. And give thanks for all of these things that some of them I had not thought about literally in decades, just things that had happened in conversations and people that I'd forgotten about and all these things. I realized our lives are so densely packed with all of these gifts. There's so many gifts that we're given all the time. And the amazing thing is not that bad things happen. What the really amazing thing is how much just day-to-day goodness goes on. You just kind of take for granted, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not sitting in the middle of a war-torn pile of rubble somewhere.
Yeah.
Sitting here in my, you know, in my seemingly boring but actually miracle-packed hobbit hole.
Yeah, you know
goodness,
what you mean.
You know?
And I'm up here in the north just rejoicing that it's above 50, today.
And
the sheets out to dry yesterday.
Baby. It's a radio show. I mean, how awesome is that, you know?
And so we'll thankful.
Be back. I'm thankful for it. So we'll be back after this. You're listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. We're here with Christine Franklin, and we'll be back on Breadbox Media right after this.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
And welcome back to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and we are here today with Christine Franklin. We're on this is Thankful Thursday. If you're thankful and you want to talk about it, if you're happy and you know it,
call us up.
If you're happy and you know it, call us up. Yeah, give us a call at 1-573-4-BREAD-4, 1-573-4-BREAD-4. Our fundamental duty as rational creatures made in the image and likeness of God, the most foundational duty that we have is thanksgiving.
Yes.
And it's spoken of as a duty, of course, but what you discover is that all duties in the Christian tradition are there because they result in happiness and freedom. And so we're told we do well always and everywhere to give you thanks and praise through Christ our Lord. And so what's the core act of worship that we do as Catholics? Well, Eucharist, which means thanksgiving.
Eucharisto, yep.
And so when we speak of thanksgiving, this is not an optional thing for the Christian life. This is something that has to be right at the center of us. And it's there through thick and thin, through the good and the bad, is the duty of thanks in all things.
Yeah.
Give thanks.
Even sometimes with tears.
Right.
Or when you're depressed, like Eeyore, thanks for noticing me.
And that's hard, you know.
Yeah, it is.
The task of things, sometimes it is a task, you know, is to be grateful. But
you know, if we thought more like little kids, it would help. If you can, you know, I think the Lord talks a lot about being childlike, a child to enter the kingdom of God, and childlikeness. You know, when you're saying your prayers with your little kids and it's like, thankful for grandma, thankful for grandpa, thankful for, they can go on, thankful for Band-Aids, thankful for sand, thank you for crayons, thank you for the sky, thank you for the bird. I mean, the robin's nest in our yard. I mean, really, happy children see the world through Thanksgiving. And if you ask a little kid, and you're like a 4 or 5 year old, to tell them what they're thankful for, they'll just go on and on. And I just hardly ever think about being thankful for Band-Aids, but you know, Band-Aids are a good thing.
Yeah.
And so I just like that childlikeness, the wonder of the greatness of God, the wonder of life, the wonder of our lives and God's provision. And like you were saying, the wonder of how God has brought us to the point that we're at right now through our childhood, through our adolescence, through young adulthood, through marriage, like everything's connected, and not in a woo woo weird way, but mm-hmm. just that the ordered steps of, you know, the steps are ordered by God, and that's just something to be very thankful for. In fact, it was because I couldn't get a job that I went and worked at a dude ranch in Colorado where I met my husband. And if I hadn't been unemployed in Redlands, California, hadn't had to take the only job that was offered to me far away in a state I'd never been to, I would not have met my husband. My two children would not exist, on and on and on. And you know, if you start connecting the dots, you can see, you know, how it all is something to be thankful for.
Yeah.
So you were saying, you know, you're having some financial, I have a thankfulness. My son and his wife, Jessica, my son, Kelly, and his doctor, Kelly Franklin, my son, the doctor, actually he's an English professor, but still we call him Dr. Franklin for
fun.
It works. My son and his wife have been unable to have a baby. And so they decided, through much prayer and stuff, to decide to do a domestic adoption. And then when they were hit with the price tag, it was like, knock me over. Because they got to raise $30,000.
Yikes.
And that's, that's typical. And it could be more. And so they started this fundraising thing. And I really encouraged them, because I've done fundraising, you know, in my life. Do you know they've been at it for 3 weeks and they have more than $10,000?
Isn't that wonderful?
Already in the bank.
Yeah.
Because people, and so you can see that as them being able to experience the generosity of others, the generosity of God through others, something that feels like a mountain that I can't climb. $30,000 bucks? Are you serious? On a professor's salary?
Yeah.
And yet, God has all the money in the world, and that these people now have a stake, you know, and yeah. That's a really good thing. It's something to be very thankful for. And they're super excited. So I'm very thankful.
Well, and they're going to be fantastic. I know.
Yeah,
I know Kelly. He used to, you know, used to go to our parish, and I think the world of that guy.
Me and, too.
You know, there you go. And yeah, and you see that kind of kindness. You know, people can be so kind. And that's been one of the things that has so impressed. The other day, It was kind of funny. I was having this conversation with somebody about something. Oh yeah, it was some guy that had some theory about Sister Lucia, one of the visionaries at Fatima.
Uh huh.
And so he had this theory that, you know, somehow or other she had died or been kidnapped or something and been replaced with his body double, and he had like handwriting pictures of her handwriting.
And he is like, in Western Washington State Psychological Hospital.
It was just one of those things where, look, her handwriting changes as she gets to be incredibly old, you know.
Yeah. Like, well,
yeah, you know.
So did you have a little visit with this person, or?
Well, no, we were talking on the internet. So in the course of the conversation, my grandmother had Parkinson's.
Sure. Okay.
And so in the course of the conversation, I made an offhand remark, and it didn't occur to me at all that anyone would be thinking about this beyond the point that I was trying to make, which was, I said in the course of the conversation, I think I've got early onset Parkinson's and my handwriting has deteriorated in the last couple of years. That doesn't mean I've been kidnapped and replaced with a body double. And I was surprised because, like, all these people started writing me, you have Parkinson's? Oh, I'm so sorry to hear about it. And they're offering, you know, help and advice and counsel and prayers and everything. And I thought, wait, what? Because it hadn't occurred to me at all that was important and that anyone could care about that. I just sort of, I figure I'm 57 years old. Something's got to go wrong.
Stuff's falling apart. I'm telling you
what. Stuff to break down.
Kind of normal,
so
yeah.
It's just going to happen. So yeah. I wasn't worried. I haven't been worried about it. It's just mostly I have to grip the pan a little bit tighter, you know, and I'm grateful for the invention of the keyboard because my typing is not impaired at all. But I, you know, it hasn't been, that's kind of it. It's just my handwriting is crappy and that's kind of all. And it doesn't really bother me at all. But what I was so moved by were all these strangers
who
just wrote me and said, you are in our prayers and we're so sorry to hear about Parkinson's. And I was going, well, I guess it's, I mean, my grandmother had Parkinson's, so I'm guessing that it's Parkinson's.
Yeah,
it could just be some other thing. Maybe there's something weird in my diet. I don't know. And then I was talking to somebody yesterday about it, and they have some kind of neurological thing. And so they were saying, well, there are like, I think she said there are like 255 different neurological ailments that might mimic some of the symptoms of Parkinson's. So it may not be Parkinson's.
Oh, and thanks like, a lot. Does one mean I have to give up bacon?
Well, but I was like, you know, it's so nice to have an expert, right?
Yeah, really.
So, anyway, all of that is to say, and please don't, you don't have to flood me with sympathy mail about the hand tremor. It's very kind of people that they care about something like that with somebody who is, you know, I'm a stranger to the people who are responding to me. But I just thought that's so sweet that people would do that they would care about that with a stranger, you know, and that makes me grateful. Yeah, and that's one of the things that you see so much of the grace of God is what I call dark matter. The scientists say that most of the mass of the universe is something called dark matter, which is basically just matter we can't see for one reason or another, but there's a huge amount of it that's out there, reportedly, according to physicists. And it's out there doing its thing and exercising its effect and influence on the universe. and nobody sees it. And grace is like that. So much of the grace of God happens, and the only people that see it are the people who were intended to see it.
Yeah.
So you get these, you know, these marvelous acts of charity done by people who you don't even know who they are.
Yeah, yeah. I asked Kelly and Jessica, have you gotten donations? They're doing CrowdRise funding. Anyone can go look at Kelly and Jessica Adopt at CrowdRise. And he said, yeah, we've had donations from complete strangers.
Yeah.
And he said, we're just blown away. We're 3 weeks in, they have a third of the money they need to raise.
Glory
and
to God.
They're
wonderful.
It's like, yeah, it's just so cool, you know.
So great, you know?
Yeah. And I think that it's easy to get bogged down in, especially, well, I'm speaking personally, mm-hmm. I can get very emotionally bogged down from too much internet and too much news and too much, because there's a lot of gloom. I find myself watching, you know, silly animal videos on purpose. It's kind of like, you know what? I just need to see the baby donkey one more time.
Well, we will be back right after this. You're listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. We're here with Chris Franklin, and we'll be back on Breadbox Media in just a jiffy.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Hello, and welcome back to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and we are here today with Christine Franklin, and we're talking about gratitude. We're here on Thankful Thursday. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-573-4-BREAD-4. You can also text us at that number, 1-573-4-BREAD-4. And you can also, by the way, you can also tweet us at Breadbox Media.
Ooh, tweet, yeah.
Tweeting, it's a thing. Other people do than me. I used Twitter. There was like this thing for my blog when I had a blog at Pathos, where it's called Deliver It, and so you could tell it, go find this thing that I blogged and then spit it out on Twitter and on Facebook. And so I would do that. But now I don't have a blog at Pathos, and so basically I just never look at Twitter. Twitter is like, what can you say in 140 characters? I'm sorry.
I don't know, but William Faulkner said, there's no such thing as bad whiskey.
Okay. Well,
we found it.
Is that the guy?
William Faulkner.
What, he was a Catholic? I didn't know he was a Catholic.
I believe so. Maybe not.
Well, what do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe he wasn't a Catholic. Anyway, that has nothing to do with, but it, you know, authors.
Okay.
Famous authors that write about thankfulness.
Well, like the Psalms, for example. So that's one of the things that I like about the Psalms, by the way, is that the Psalms know how to give thanks, but they also know how to gripe and complain.
There's every emotion is covered in the Psalms.
Every emotion is covered in
every
the Psalms.
Every human emotion is covered.
There's some, I forget what the percentage was. I remember Scott Hahn told me one time that some remarkably large percentage of the Psalms are called Psalms of Complaint. And they're just psalmists.
Oh, Lord, what's the deal? You're letting the enemy triumph over me, and I'm so hungry, and my soldiers are all killed, and what's going on? I praise thee, Lord, with all my heart.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, if you keep reading, it's like, wow.
Yeah, including, by the way, probably the darkest psalm there is, Psalm 22, which...
Yeah, all my bones are falling apart.
Well, a psalm that begins with, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
This is a psalm that Jesus quoted on the cross, but what a lot of people don't seem to realize is when you get to the second half of the psalm, it becomes this huge psalm of praise.
Yep.
Thanking God.
That's a cool thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one of the things I love about the Bible, just as a holy book, as far as holy books go, is that all the warts are there. You know, like, here's David, the famous king and poet. Dun, da, da, da.
And what adulterer is he and murderer.
I mean, oh, yeah, his murder, adulterer. Really tough family life going on.
No kidding.
the warts of the beloved of God are all there for us to see. And the difference is, did they turn back to God or did they forsake him and go their own way?
Yeah.
And I mean, that should give us all so much hope as human beings and thankfulness, because God is always a redeemer. He's always, if you read in scripture, he's always calling his people to him and also calling them to recall his mighty deeds. I love that, you know, and we were talking about earlier about your memories, you know, a memory drill down. I love that mining metaphor, you know, drilling down for the good stuff and the bad stuff and seeing how God has used it to bring us to where we are. Just today, my husband said to me out of the blue, he's homesick, he has a fever. So I'm pretty sure it wasn't the fever talking. But I was in the sewing room and I was sewing and I was all happy and the sun was, it's like, oh, there's no snow in my backyard. And my husband says, so what do you think the whole missionary thing in Guatemala was about? It took us 5 years to get ready. We had to raise tens of thousands of dollars to go there. We went to language school for a year. We were missionaries for 2 years and we came home and became Catholic. And I said, really, in the short version of what that whole thing was about, it was for us. Mm. It was for us so that we could ask the questions that led us home to the Catholic Church. That's what it was all about. Mm. And he goes, I like that answer.
That's a good answer. Well, it is, you know, there are those moments in your life where you just look at it and you ask,
What was
all that for? You know, I mean, you know, but the thing is, Garrison Keillor, your fellow Minnesotan, says nothing bad ever happens to a writer. He says everything is just material. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I'm not Pollyanna. I recognize that evil takes place. I mean, real evil and, you know, sinful waste and all kinds of other things. But at the same time, what we're taught and what the resurrection shows us is that there really is redemption. There really is a way that even seemingly wasted time is redeemed. And so one of the remarkable things about the life of Christ is how much of the life of Christ we don't know anything about. There's 30 some odd. Yeah, there's some 30 odd years, you know, with a spotlight for a second on his childhood. And then another spotlight for a moment when he's 12 years old. And then that's it. So what's happening during all that, the rest of that time? Can we look at that and say, well, that was a waste of time? Well, no. The silent years and the periods of waiting were just as important as the years that get recorded. Nothing went to waste in the life of Christ.
You know, that is a really,
and the same thing is true
really
of us.
Beautiful. Yeah, that is really beautiful. I interviewed a couple that had struggled with infertility for a long time. And then finally God blessed them with children after quite a few years. And he said, looking back, it was preparation for his future career because it allowed him time to study. And he wouldn't have had it had they begun to have children right away. And it ended up, you know, him like becoming flowering into this huge career that he never would have taken had God allowed them to start children right away. Yeah. You know, and I think looking back and when we're in the middle of sorrow, the Lord tells us, will thanks. You know, it's like choose thanksgiving, choose thankfulness, make a list, you know. And sometimes I've actually done that. 10 things, Chris, write them down right now. 10 things, you know, that you're thankful for. When we're in the midst of it, God commands it because it's for our good. But when we look back and we reflect, like God asked the Israelites to do, Yeah. It's just a source of huge blessing to look back and see how God redeemed our mistakes, how he redeemed our sorrow, how he redeemed that whole year of depression, how he redeemed, you know, it's like, wow. You know, I think this is what it means to get wise, don't you? I mean, isn't that why we're old, Mark?
I thought it was just that I'd lived a long time.
Getting joints that don't work anymore and stuff is like you just can look back and say, oh,
yeah,
God is good all the time, all the time. And we can share that with our kids because they're, you know, and other people who are in the middle of the dark. And then when we get in the dark ourselves, we have all those things we can recall. So memory is a wonderful thing. St. Ignatius loved memory and imagination, you know, and it's something that we that can help us be more thankful people.
And it keeps coming back to me how much our faith focuses us on Thanksgiving and places that I think very wisely places that in this fallen life in the realm of duty. When we hear words like duty, it's like duty sucks. You know, I'd rather be playing than doing my duty. But in the Catholic tradition, our duties are for our liberation. They're to train us. So it's sort of like, you know, with little kids, somebody once said that, you know, every generation has to tame a wave of barbarians called its children. Which is true. I mean, our kid, you know, unfortunately, we don't possess genetic memory. So the things that I have learned growing up, the way that I pass them on to my children is not simply by giving birth to children who possess my memories. And so you have to train your children. And so you teach them things by rote so that they will be free. So you teach them to say things like please and thank you and, you know, pass the butter and things, not so that they'll be parrots, but so that they won't have to learn these elementary duties of civilization later on when it will be too late and everybody will be telling them what brutal savages they are because they don't even know their manners.
And a really important thing they teach them is to say, I love you, Grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very important thing to learn how to say.
Very important thing to learn to say.
And so Jesus teaches us the duty of Thanksgiving because it's something we have to learn so that we will become truly thankful people. And when you're thankful, you're happy. And that's what this is. That's what this is ordered toward is our happiness.
And so, counting your blessings, it really makes a difference in how we live and how we view our lives in the moment.
Yep. You know? So Paul tells the Philippians, you know, whatever is true, whatever is good, whatever is noble, if anything is worthy of praise, think on those things. Why?
Yes.
Because you'll be happy.
Yep. Hey, Thankful Chris, Thursday.
I want to thank you so much for being here on this Thankful Thursday on Connecting the Dots. You've been listening to Redbox Media. Our producer was Ethan Bolin, and I will be back tomorrow with Steve Gardonis. And we're going to be talking about The Jungle Book. So tune in then. Bye-bye.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.